Well, grab your Bibles, open to Daniel chapter 3. You know, last week we saw Daniel standing alone, continue to pray and worship even though it could cost him his life. And he stood alone. He kept his faith alone. And God blessed him for it. But we know it's easier to stand alone when you have backup. Let me rephrase that. It's easier to stand against hard times in opposition when you have backup. If you've got to confront an issue, it's good to have those who stand with you for the same issue. That believe in the same things. When you're going through hard times, you need to have encouragers. And I hope this church is that for you. You know, when you want to better yourself, you need to be with people that's going to encourage you to do what you want to accomplish, the direction you want to go. If you want to stop smoking, don't hang out in the smoking area. Right? When I worked at the hospital years ago, I learned that we got like a break and then a lunch break. But if you smoked, you got to go out like a couple times a day to the smoking area. So I'd go to the smoke shelter with everybody because you know what? Smoking wasn't my temptation. But you know what? If you struggle with it, that's a dumb place to be. If you want to stop drinking, don't hang out at the bar. No amens on this, huh? You want to lose weight? There you go. I was going to say quit going to buffets with folks, but I had a friend one time, he was a missionary for a while, who really offended a whole church, so I'm just going to share that. He said it, I would never mean it. But he shared the acronym for buffet. Bunch of ugly fat folks eating together. And if you're skinny, you can never repeat that. And I can't believe he said it, and I didn't mean it. I was just telling you what he said. You see, when you need to grow in your walk with Christ, who do you need to be around? Who do you need to stand with? Those that are going to strengthen you, push you in the right direction. Those are going to help you stand against temptation, strengthen you to do what's right. You need to be close with believers who are living holy, sanctified lives. Amen. When we're speaking of dating or marriage, we like to quote a part of a verse in 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." But you know, here's a secret about this verse. He's not speaking about marriage. It includes marriage, but it's not directly about marriage. This is speaking of a believer's intimate relationships. Those people that you bring in that touch your lives, that affect your lives, that influence and encourage, that teach, that hold you accountable, that help mold you. Those people that are so close, they affect you, they affect your spouse, they touch your children. And that's who he's saying, be not unequally yoked together. Don't be tied. Don't let those be the influences of your life. You need people with the same passion, the same purposes, the same desires. You need people that love Jesus, not because they say so, but their life shows so. You need to be close to the right people. You need people with the same purpose. You need encouraged by the right people. Yeah, the wrong people will encourage you. They'll make you feel good, but they're going to push you in the wrong direction. You need to be pushed by the right people. You need to be held accountable by the right people. You need to have examples from the right people. And as we spoke of Daniel last week, we saw him stand strong in the faith, even during persecution and possible death. So what I'd like to do and see who his encouragers were, who pushed him in the right direction, who held him accountable, who was the examples in his life. And so I want to take some time to just look at who influenced the man that we know as a faithful, godly man. Who did he allow access to his deeper thoughts? Who did he allow to influence his desires? Who did he allow to strengthen him? So in Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Go down to verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut," man, that's bad, "psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I ask that you would challenge us to be faithful. Lord, to guard who we're intimate with, to guard the influences of our lives, to guard who influences our children's lives. And Lord, I ask that your scripture and your spirit would speak to us. We love you, Lord. I thank you for your presence here today. In your name I pray. Amen. As you can probably tell, we're looking at the story of the fiery furnace. You may have heard this story before. You may be familiar with it. You may know all the details. Don't tune me out. God's word is a living word, so it will always touch and will always affect. And I hope to use this in a way that it challenges each one of us, whether you're going back to school tomorrow or you're getting up for another day of work. This applies to you. It applies to you. And the first thing we see here is temptation. Something we all struggle with. And if you don't struggle with temptation, you're going through it right now because you're struggling with pride. I would never be tempted. Well, you just were. But some temptation we all struggle with. And we see it right here as King Nebuchadnezzar rose up. We start with this wicked king, a very self-centered king. And often these kings would rise themselves up to be worshipped as if they were gods. And he's very full of himself. He's very arrogant. The word says we see this later again in his life. It's a guy, he reminds me of guys in the gym that likes to flex in front of the mirror. Take the shirt off. Ugh. Yeah, you picture me, I'll lust it now, stop it. This king just wanted to be seen. He's proud of himself. I'm really something. And I'm all of that. And he just really conceited. So this king had a gold image made of himself. Gold because of his royalty. Do you notice the size there? Verse 1. Height was 70 cubits. His width was 6 cubits. A cubit was about a foot and a half long. A score meant 20. So it was 20 times that size. And it was 70 cubits. So 70, that would be what? 60. It would make 90 foot tall at a foot and a half each cubit. The width of it was about 9 foot tall. I'm sorry, it was 9 foot wide. So 90 foot tall by about 9 foot wide. Now that's a big old statue, ain't it? It's hard for us to fathom this idea until Amy and I went to Oklahoma just a couple weeks ago. After we went to Branson and hung out with the family, she and I went on a date because we went to the world's coolest place, Pioneer Woman. It was awesome. They have like pans and dishes. And it was cool for me because I was with my wife. And it was, then we went somewhere with a bunch of buffalo that or bison. That was really cool. But anyway, while we were there, we went and saw one of the highlights that's in Tulsa. It's called the Golden Driller. Anybody familiar with that statue? No? It'd be, as you know, that the oil drilling that goes on in Oklahoma, there's this big old golden driller. Why don't you check out this? Go to the next screen, will you? You see the size of that thing? That's only 76 foot tall. I want you to look at the left ankle of that guy. That's me. I don't usually feel small. But that shows a 76-foot statue. And that's lacking, what, 14 feet to reach what Nebuchadnezzar made of himself? That thing is huge. It's massive. Thank you. You can go ahead and go to the next screen there, Campbell. Thank you. I use that not to show off our vacation, but to make a point of how massive this thing was. And that his statue was 90 foot tall. Now I want you to be in this mindset that he calls everybody together, and as you approach this massive 90 foot golden statue, that the sun would be shining on it. So you can imagine how that is just the sunlight is bouncing off. And it's surrounded with the military and the protection. There would be lots of noise from the instruments, of pomp and circumstance, the ceremonies going on. And it shows the power and the control of this king. Think of this situation. This would be an intimidating time. And the king, in verse 5, gave some very simple orders. When I play the right music, you fall down and worship. Otherwise, death. A brutal death. Fiery furnace. Horrible death. I don't know how they know, because no dead person has ever told them, but it's supposed to be one of the worst deaths you can suffer. So very simple. Does king said, bow down and worship? Let's do it. Let's bow down, worship, and go home, yeah? Sounds very simple. The command has been given. This is dangerous. There's been a promise of what would happen if we don't. And if this wasn't enough intimidation factor, look at verse 7. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalmetry, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, not only is there a lot of intimidation, there's peer pressure. There's peer pressure. Everybody's doing it. We can just do it and move on with our life. No one will ever know. They're not going to know. That should speak to our hidden sins. You know those hidden sins that no one else knows about? You know that back in the day you'd clean the cookies on your computer? I don't have a clue what you'd call it now. You bleach something, the drive of your computer. So no one knows what you've been into. You have to clear out your phone Someone knows what you visited. You know, the attitude that I have about my parents when they're not looking. When I look the other way and roll my eyes. The money that I schemed. The lie that I told. No one's going to know. No one's going to know. See, when temptation comes, if you're not ready for temptation, you with me? You will fall. When temptation comes, here's the tricky thing about Satan. He's not going to send you a temptation that affects me. He knows what affects you. He knows where your weakness is. He knows where to attack you. He knows where your weak point is. And he will attack you there. And that's what 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If you think I'm fine, I can endure this, bad news. The scripture says you're going to fall. You may think it's a secret, but your God sees everything openly. Your God knows your heart. He knows the attitude. He knows the purpose. You can only be prepared for temptation to come by the gifts that God has given to you. Prayer, that's access to His throne. The reading of God's Word, the study of God's Word, I should say. The desire to know Him deeper, and also God's people. The right people to encourage you, to build you up. It's three gifts that God's given to us that are so neglected. I hope you're being a part of this growing together where we're reading one book of the Bible as a church throughout the month. We're in 2 Corinthians this month. I hope you're doing it. Why? Just so we can dig a little bit more. So we can read together. But I hope you also have your own quiet time where you're digging into God's Word. Hope you have time set apart that you're in prayer. Not just a Lord bless this food, but an intimate time of giving thanks. Of talking with God. But also the relationships that He gives to us, the people around us, that we take advantage of this body God has put together to build us up, to strengthen us. God forbid that the most influential people in my lives are not people living godly lives. God forbid that the influence I put into my lives, my kids' lives, are not godly people, but people that mock the things of God. Maybe with their mouth. They know how to speak Christianese, right? But with their lives, they're teaching impurity. We've got to have a heavier influence on our kids than the school does. Amen? Come on, I need some backup out here. Okay, I don't want to feel, I'm one of you, okay? I hope we're speaking together on this, that we want to influence our kids, that we want to be influenced by godly people. This isn't a Sunday morning event. I'm not talking about Sunday morning things. I'm talking about life stuff. I need a godly person to strengthen me. I want godly people to strengthen my kids. I want to be a godly person to strengthen you. And I hope that's what you want. It's so easy to forget about the importance of having godly friends. Intimate, godly friends. And we start letting the world come in. Why? Because they're fun. They got more toys. They accept whatever. We allow them to have a greater influence. So the next thing we see is the friends of character. Because the friends we should be intimate with, the friends we should allow our kids to be influenced by, are those who have a godly character. Not because they're cool. Not because they're cool. One of the great friends we have, he's about 20 years older than me. He was a counselor in a youth group when I was in a youth group at High Street. And he now really has been a part of our ministries and a part of our life for years. He calls himself a dork and a nerd. Ungodly man. And I love the influence he's had on my kids. When just Daniel was small and he'd pick Daniel up, Daniel's favorite thing was to play with his hair because he has a straight hair. And I love that influence because he's a godly man. I didn't care what toys he had. My boy needed good examples, a godly example. Men that loved the Lord. Not cool toys. And then just because they go to church doesn't make them godly. Can I get an amen? Okay? Just because they're in church, number one, ladies, just because that boy go to church don't mean you should date him. He needs to reflect godly character. He needs to love Jesus. Now, is he perfect? No. But you should see in his life that he's aiming and striving to be perfected. If he's not in church at all, you got no business dating him. Can I get an amen, parents? And let me not generalize church. If he's not in a Bible-based church, the scripture is very clear. Don't let him influence you. It won't be a good influence. But see, we want the influences in our lives to be godly influences that represent and promote and strengthen and encourage holiness. They encourage purity. They encourage righteousness. They encourage, you with me? Obedience to the Word of God. That's our intimate relationships. Otherwise, your influence is going to pull you and your kids away from godliness. Oh, they wouldn't do that. We go to church on Sunday mornings. No, I promise you they will. You start letting darkness sneak in a little bit at a time. Oh, but they're good people. They're not godly people. They need Jesus. They need you to set the example and be the light and be a relationship with them. But the ones that are in your life to influence you need to be deeper. Need to love the Lord. I want to look at the character of those men that Daniel held close, that are now in a situation of danger, that they're supposed to do something simple. Just bow down and worship and go home. Worship this stupid golden idol. Big deal. Go down to verse 12. Because see, one of the men of the king's, the servants ran back to the king to get the king's attention. Look what he tells them in verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have served not the gods, nor worshipped the golden idol which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. See, these men did not bow down to the idol. Oh, my goodness. Shame on them. They got all these people. I'm picturing thousands of people bowing down, worshiping, doing what the king said so they get the king's money and be cool with the king. But these three men said, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. You ever been in a situation like that? They said, nah, I don't think so. That's not what's best for my walk with Christ. Come on, man, it's just one. No, I don't need that. Satan will always provide things that will seem enjoyable at the time, that as a believer and someone that's intimate with the Lord knows, listen, this is an honor God. It'll always be there. Will you be strong to do what these guys said? I don't think so. They didn't bow down. They didn't fall for it. But this king isn't going to take the disrespect. So the king offers these men, these three men, another chance. He said, we're going to play the music instruments again, and you will worship. Maybe you stood hard one time, but the temptation comes around again. Will you stand strong? You ever realize, and I've said it in the pulpit 1,000 times, and I don't want to drive you nuts saying the same thing, but there's always eyes watching you. We say our kids are watching us, and that's so true. But you know there's other believers watching you that every day need your strength to see you walk with the Lord and you're being faithful. There's unbelievers watching you to see if you're sincere about your walk with Christ and your love for Him. And here the king here says, listen, I'm going to give you one more chance. You don't really mean what you're saying. You better bow down. And look at how the king is watching. The end of verse 15, just the very end of verse 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see how the king is watching him? You don't really think this God can defeat me. You don't think that this God can outpower me. You see the arrogance of this king? He says, there ain't no way. Now, this story can easily be seen as just some cool little, cute little intimate story of comic book or just make-believe. But this is true historical fact that has happened. This is the Word of God teaching us the promises of God. And this king here that has threatened their lives has given another chance. He says, listen, whoever you think you're worshiping, you better think twice, because no God can defeat me. And listen to the men's response in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Strong answer. Strong answer. Look him in the eyes and say, listen, we don't have to be careful in our response here because we're ready for it. We don't have to think about what we want to do. We don't need 10 minutes to pray about it. When it is sin, God never gives us the approval to do it. They didn't need time to think about it. So we're not careful to answer you, king. Their life was one of obedience. So when it came to something that was sinful, they're like, no, don't think so. They'd already determined that they would only worship God. Why? They knew God's law. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 20, what do we find in Exodus chapter 20? Ten Commandments. Listen to this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He doesn't stop there. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God didn't beat around the bush, did he? But listen, don't you give my glory to anybody else. Don't you give my worship to anybody else. Throughout the Old Testament, God has demanded to be the only subject of worship. He's never blessed the worship of any other. He has punished the Jews over and over and over for worshiping idols. The Jews were supposed to be cleansed from any of the idols that they allowed in at one time. And many of them died because of the idols that had come in. But you see, these three men knew that bowing to this big old 90-foot golden idol was nothing. But it was a big deal. In our human eyes, big deal. But you know what? They knew who was seeing, who was watching, who would be hurt. They knew it would not honor God, and they wanted to be faithful and committed to Him. You see, notice their commitment to the Lord that no matter how God chose to use this issue, it's an important thing, no matter how God let this issue carry out, that they would honor Him, whether it be by delivering them from the torture. So, oh, we believe God's going to deliver us from you, O king. But if He doesn't, it's okay. That's okay. If it costs us our fiery death, so be it. Glory be to God. Woo, is that hard to say when we're going through struggles? When I could lose something? When I could get hurt? Can I say, well, Lord, you use this for your glory. And however you use it, I will glorify you. But they made a promise to the king in verse 18, the end of verse 18. We will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You see that strength and that commitment? We're not going to. You can give a second chance. You can give us a third chance. You can give us a fifth chance, a 200th chance. We're not going to. We've done made up our mind that there is only one we will bow to. No matter the benefit of this sin, no matter the pleasure of this sin, no matter the enjoyment of this sin, no matter the ease of this sin, no matter how many other people are committing this sin, no matter how normalized this sin has become, we've got to be determined to live holy lives, faithful for the Lord. These men told the king they're not going to sin against their own God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Why do you need to know the word so much? So it strengthens you, so you can answer the temptation. They're committed here to the one and only true God. They're committed to the only one worthy of worship. Is this a strong testimony here? These are the type of friends I need right here. This is the friends you need. This is the friends our kids need. These are the type of friends that Daniel surrounded himself with. And now we see why he's strong, held strong to the faith. But living a holy life can be hard. So we see the third thing here is faith may cause suffering. Contrary to some teaching. You know, faith can cause suffering. Jesus said, they persecute me, they'll probably persecute you. And he didn't say probably, he said they will. Faith can bring suffering. Remember, God never promised believers an easy life. When you hear one of those TV evangelists say so, shut them off and go read your Bible. The Scripture never promises an easy life until eternity. What he does promise today is the peace and joy to live with him during those trials. But look what these men did in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was, won't be... than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now look at this verse. Those mighty men, these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments. And those mighty men, what did they do? And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Those mighty, valiant soldiers, those proven warriors tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and got close enough to just throw them into that fiery furnace. Now, if you remember what the king did, he was so mad, he said, heat it up 7 times. How do you get a fire 7 times hotter? Probably put more fuel in it. But some believe the reason he said 7 times, 7 is the number of completion. 7 is the number of perfection. What the king is saying is you get this as hot as you possibly can. And it was so hot that those mighty, tough warriors cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire. And as they cast him, they fell dead. The soldiers were dead. They did not survive. That's how hot this thing is. Toughest soldiers trained in battle couldn't survive it. And look at verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, and flames of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound Where? In the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Those big, bad, tough, mean men died outside the furnace. And yet, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown inside. Now, they believed that those furnaces were like a deep cave. So they would cast them down right on top of the hottest portion. And they're cast into there. And when you are faithful in suffering and you're willing to let God use your life for anything, you see God work in great ways. You know, faithfulness always brings fruit. Faithfulness always brings fruit. Not much more. Stick with me here to finish this up. You know the story. But how do we apply it to our lives? Faithfulness brings fruit. Well, you know this. Because we all know that all things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Not always does God do things the way we want Him to, but He always does them the best way. I'm going to quote my brother again. As Jeff was suffering with heart disease, he said many times, When I do not understand God's conduct, I need only to trust in His character. Sorry, on Thursday will be 3 years. Remember, Jeff walked through that heart disease. Faithful. Trusting that God was going to work it for good somehow. These men here are willing to let God work this time, this trial out, for His glory. And how will God make this situation good? Three godly, faithful men in a fiery furnace, there's sure death. You with me? Now check this out. Check this out. Verse 24. Again, we know the end of the story, but sometimes we miss the middle pieces. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of fire? They answered and said unto him and to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see, the king knew how many he had cast in there. We tied up three men, three boys that wouldn't bow down to me. Three boys that wanted to be committed to some foolish god in the air. Some boys that wanted to be committed to some god that wrote some black book. Some boys that want to pray when they're at school. Some girls that think it's important to keep their purity, right? Some men that don't cuss. Some men that decided they don't want to drink. He knew how many there was. He knew how many he was supposed to destroy. He said, I threw three in that fire. What is going on? What am I seeing here? King Nel sees that fourth man in the fire. A fire that should have killed them before they entered the furnace. Like it did those strong soldiers. Fire that killed those strongest men. But instead of killing them, now there's another man with them. What the king didn't understand is that God has made a promise to us that those who are faithful to Him and obedient to Him, I am with you always, He says, even unto the end of the world. Even Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. When they were cast into the fiery furnace, God made a promise to them. Where you go, there I am also. And when the king looked in to see those three men get annihilated, those three faithful men were actually fellowshipping with their God. The God that promised to protect them, and He protected them. Even if they had died, they would have been protected because eternity was already ready for them. But the king recognize something here. Look at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the what? But he don't have a 90-foot idol. Think there's some humility happening here? Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. You know why? Because I can't come get you. I'll die. But you can come here. Come on out. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The king recognized. He now knows why they were so faithful to their God. Their God has power. Their God is faithful. Their God is good. And the king had to humbly recognize the Most High God. See, all the other leaders were gathered, looking at these men, scratching their heads, saying, I don't get it. These men are fine. Their hair is fine. Now, I didn't keep from singeing their hair because they were bald, by the way. Because God protected them. I've singed hair by trying to burn junk in the backyard. They didn't have a singed hair. I have shirts with burn holes on them from fireworks. They didn't have that. We've smelled like fire because of our neighbor's fire. They were in the midst of the fire. But God was showing himself again. God was blessing. God was protecting. And the last thing, faithfulness should cause worship. God's faithfulness should cause us to worship. When we see God work through faithfulness, the response should be what we see here in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The king has noticed that this is the Most High God. He is deserving of honor. He is deserving of worship, and he calls people to worship God. We could end here and be excited, be encouraged, but if we were to continue, we would see that this same king enjoyed what he saw, heard the good story, celebrated for a day, and then after worshiping here, he didn't truly place faith in God. He just got tied up in emotional events. And I believe it's the next chapter we see and rebel against God again. Why? Because he lets pride cause him to forget what God has done and who God is. And God had to deal very harshly with him. Let you and I close the service today celebrating that we worship the Most High God. Celebrating together that he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, that calls us to walk by faith, gives us a family of faith that we can celebrate together. Let us not walk out of here and walk back in to the sin that we had before, but that we have an opportunity to deliver it to God and say, I'm going to walk by faith. Because guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to be tempted. Let me rephrase that. I'm going to go home and I'm going to be tempted. Tomorrow, more temptation is going to come. And you know what? I better decide right now. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be committed to God. I'm going to let Him invest in my life through His Word, through prayer, and through His people. And that the intimate relationships I have in my life are the ones that are going to build up my walk with Him, that encourage me in righteousness, that are going to encourage me in holiness, encourage me in purity. Well, you got to decide that right now. You know why? More temptation is coming. Why? Because Satan still walks this earth seeking whom he may
devour.
Devour. And so today, let us celebrate that because of his son Jesus, we get to approach the throne and worship God. But not just a God, the Most High God. Would you stand with me?